Well, good morning to each and every one of you. It's wonderful to see you here today. Wonderful to study the Bible with you. If you'll go ahead and take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll be reading there in just one moment. Luke chapter 12. And while you're turning there, I just want to ask you a few of the most important questions that you'll ever be asked. Do you know what life is really all about? Do you know that one day you will be judged for the way that you lived your life? Do you know that on the day that when you're judged, it will also be decided where you will spend the rest of forever? And do you know that that day when we're judged, that day will come without notice, without notification, without alert? As Jesus says, in the twinkling of an eye. Eternity, at any moment, could be just a moment away. And the question that I want to lay on your heart this morning is simply this. Are you ready for that moment? Are you ready for the day when you're going to be judged for the way that you lived your life? Are you ready right now? If that moment were to come, are you ready for God to decide where you're going to spend the rest of forever? You know, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus has an encounter with a man who obviously is not prepared. He has an encounter with a man who's obviously not ready for that moment when the world will end and he will be judged for the way that he lives his life. In Luke chapter 12, It begins by Jesus teaching a multitude of people. He's teaching a crowd of people, and he's talking to them about some very important stuff. He's talking to them about eternity. He's talking to them about spiritual things. And starting in verse 13, as Jesus is having this very important spiritual discussion with this multitude, somebody in the crowd pipes up and says, "Jesus, I want you to tell my brother to split the family inheritance with me." Now, despite whether that guy was right or wrong, whether it was fair or whether it was just for his brother to split the inheritance with him, whether that was right or wrong, the question says something about that man, doesn't it? It reveals something about him. That his mind is not set on eternal things. He's not thinking about spiritual things. He's not focused on spiritual things. Rather, he is preoccupied with what's going on in this world. And so in this moment, Jesus decides that he's going to do some teaching. He decides that he needs to do some teaching. He needs to tell this multitude about eternity. And he needs to talk to them about how we prepare for the rest of forever. So Jesus offers this correction to that man in verse 15. He says this, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Now, many of you probably know that starting in verse 16, Jesus is going to tell a parable. He's going to tell a parable that we affectionately know as the parable of the rich fool. But you should know, that's not all he does in this moment. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is going to tell at least three parables, depending on how you count. He tells at least three parables. And all three of those parables are designed by the master teacher to help us get ready and stay ready for the day when the world ends. These three parables help us honestly consider the question, am I ready? Am I ready for eternity? And so that's what I want to do this morning. I want to look at these three parables that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 12 so we can answer that question deep within our hearts. Are we actually ready to meet God? The first parable that Jesus tells, as we said, is the parable of the rich fool. And that begins in verse 16. Will you read with me? Luke 12 and verse 16. Jesus says this, "And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive, and he began to reason to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And so this parable shows us a rich man. His fields are producing in abundance. And as he's looking out over this harvest that's coming before him, he realizes that he's so rich, he's being so productive that he's got no place to store his crops. And so he plans for a large harvest. And that's important, right? That's important. Because what this rich man does is he looks at his field and he looks into the future and he sees what's coming. He says, I'm going to have a large harvest. And when that harvest comes, I see how big my barns are, how big my storehouses are. And I can see into the future and I can tell that I'm not going to have what I need. And so he determines to make plans. And according to his plans, when he's built his bigger barns, he'll be ready for the crops when they come in. He has prepared himself for his large harvest. Now, you need to know that none of that makes him a fool. And that wouldn't make you a fool either. If you looked at your life and you prepared for physical things, that doesn't make him a fool. What makes him a fool, brothers and sisters, is that this rich fool is prepared for this life, but he is unprepared for the next. What makes him a fool is that he didn't do that same thing when it came to eternity. When he was thinking about his barns and when he was thinking about his fields, he was able to look into the future and see what was coming and prepare for what was coming next. But he didn't do that when it came to eternity. He prepared for this life, but not for the next. He readied himself to be wealthy on earth, but he took no thought to the importance of being rich toward God. And the most devastating statement in this parable, at least in my view, the most devastating statement in this parable is found in verse 20, where God says to this fool, this very night, your soul is demanded of you. And as for all that you have prepared, who will own it now? Who will own all the stuff that you prepared? And you know what the message is to the rich fool in this parable is? You wasted your life. God has given him the gift of life, and he basically spent it running on a hamster wheel, right? Lots of energy, lots of preparation. He was very busy doing all kinds of different things, but by the time his life ends, he's got nothing to show for it. He's prepared all these things, and God says, who will own what you've prepared? Who's going to gain the benefit of all those things that you've done? Because it won't be you. Jesus is telling us that some people live life just like that. They expend all of their energy making preparations for what's going to happen here or what's going to happen next in this life, for what's going to happen on this earth, and they don't make preparations for the next. Some people live their whole lives preparing for what they think is going to happen here, and they never think about what's going to come. And some people do a little bit more than that. Some people live this life and they do think about eternity and they do think about the life that is to come. And they say, you know what? I show up on Sunday when we talk about eternity, and I show up and I go to Bible class and I read my Bible, and I do think about eternity. But you have to know that thinking about something and preparing for something are not the same thing. And some people do that. They may think about eternity, they may talk about eternity, they may read about eternity in their Bible, but they don't actually do anything to prepare for it with their life on this earth. And so we should all ask ourselves this morning, am I ready? Have I thought about eternity? And if I am actually thinking about the life that is to come, I need to ask myself this question too. Have I actually made preparations for it? Have I readied myself for that day when it comes? You know, Solomon told us in the book of Ecclesiastes that ultimately all of our physical endeavors are ultimately useless and pointless and empty and vain. In Ecclesiastes 1, verses 2 through 3, the preacher says this, "Vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage? What advantage does a person have in all of his work which he does under the sun?" He says, "You may have barns for all of your produce, but what advantage is that? What good does that do you in eternity? You may have great plans for what the future will bring. You may have that property that you bought that you plan on building your retirement home on. You may have built up your IRA or your 401k. You may have done all of these things, gotten all of this education, and done all these things to prepare for your future here. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But have you done anything to prepare for the life that's to come? Because there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that you'll get to enjoy those things. Who knows, brothers and sisters? It could be that tonight your soul is required of you. And are you ready for that? We need to remember what Jesus says in verse 15, that not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. We need to realize that my life is not about getting ready for what's going to happen here. It's about getting ready for what happens next. Jesus tells us this parable about the rich fool because he knows this is what most of mankind will do. They will prepare for this life, but they will not prepare for the next. And so the question this morning is, are you going to learn from the rich fool? Are you going to get ready for the life that is to come? Jesus is going to follow that parable with another one. It's obvious that we don't want to live life like the rich fool. Obviously, none of us want that fate. None of us want God to say, "You fool, who will own what you've prepared?" No one wants that to happen to us. And so the question is, if we don't want to be like the rich fool, then what should we be like? How should we live? And so Jesus is going to go on in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 35. He's going to say, unlike the rich fool, you and I need to be the kind of people who are dressed in readiness. And he shows us a parable to make that point. A parable about a servant who's standing right by the door. Will you read with me? Luke 12 and verse 35. Jesus says this, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and will wait on them, whether he comes in the second watch or even the third and finds them so. Blessed are those slaves." And so Jesus tells this second parable, and he says, there's a master who has many servants working in his house. And one night this master decides that he's going to go to a wedding feast, and he does not tell any of his servants when he'll be back. He forgot his cell phone at home too, so they can't call him and ask. And so he's at the wedding feast, and his servants are at home, and they don't know when he's going to return. But notice in the parable that rather than becoming distracted and busying themselves with something else, these servants choose to prepare. They choose to be ready for the master to come home. And so they decide they're going to wait for him. They're going to stand right by the door, which I just love that picture, don't you? You just get this image of all these slaves, all these servants, just right next to the front door, waiting for hours and hours and hours so that as soon as their master knocks, they can open the door and let him right in. And Jesus says, those slaves who are alert, those slaves who are standing right by the door, they are blessed by the master. Jesus says that the master is going to reward their readiness because they didn't get distracted. They didn't get bored. They didn't procrastinate. They waited right by the door. And whether he came in the first watch of the night or the second watch of the night or even the third watch of the night, in the middle of the night, they were there right by the door, ready for him to knock. Surely, brothers and sisters, I don't have to connect the dots for you, do I? You understand what Jesus is saying there. That we need to be ready. We need to live this life like servants who are standing right by the door so that as soon as Jesus comes, as soon as he knocks, we're ready to welcome him in. Did you notice those two metaphors that Jesus uses in verse 35? Before he tells that parable, he says, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. And I love both of those metaphors because they communicate so much about being ready, being like this servant who's just standing right by the door. Notice, first of all, he says, I want you to be dressed in readiness. And you know what Jesus is saying there, brothers and sisters? He's saying, I don't want you ever to put on your spiritual pajamas. Okay? Don't ever put on your spiritual pajamas. Isn't that how it works in the real world, in the physical world right now? What do you do? What do you do when you finish your work for the day, you go home and you have no more plans, right? You're not going to have company come over. You're not going to go out somewhere to some party or some restaurant. What do as soon as you get home and there are no more plans? You change clothes. You get into your comfortable clothes. You get into your pajamas. And if somebody were going to come over, if you were expecting somebody to come over, you wouldn't be wearing your pajamas. You'd wear presentable clothes, nice clothes. You'd be ready for company. And Jesus says, you need to live life spiritually like you're always ready for company. Be dressed in readiness. Live your life like you're always expecting someone at the door. Don't ever relax spiritually. Always make sure that you're presentable so that if Jesus does come knock on your door, you're ready for him. Young people, you need to make sure that you're always dressed in readiness. And sometimes as young people, it's very easy to not live that way, isn't it? It's very easy to say, as a young person, I got my whole life in front of me. I'm so healthy. Everything's going well for me. I don't have any medical problems. I don't foresee myself dying in the next week. And you know what? I've got the rest of my life to figure out all this spiritual preparation stuff. I've got the rest of my life to get rich in heaven. So let me put off that spiritual stuff and focus on that later. And right now, I'll focus on this world and these physical things and getting rich here. It's very easy to do that. But ultimately, we don't know. You don't know if it might be this night that your soul is required of you. And I think there's a word we could say to those who are older among us, too. That sometimes even older folks feel like they have the opportunity to spiritually relax. And maybe that's the inverse of what young people sometimes do. Maybe I'm an older person. I'm somebody who's retired. I'm somebody who's getting advanced in years. And I look back and say, you know, I have lived a good life for the Lord. And surely you probably have. I've lived a good life for the Lord. I've stored up many treasures in heaven during my time. And now that I'm at this age, and now that I can't do what I used to be able to do, I can relax. I can stop worrying about it. And I can just run out the clock until my life is over. We need to make sure that we're always dressed in readiness. That we don't relax spiritually. And even if you can't do what you used to be able to do, we still need to be like servants who are standing right at the door. We need to be dressed in readiness. And Jesus says this, he uses this metaphor too. He says, keep your lamps lit. And that metaphor is interesting. Lamps, they enabled you to move in the darkness, right? If you had to get up and go somewhere in the middle of the night, the lamp was what was going to lead you. And so Jesus says, keep your lamps lit. And that's Jesus' way of saying, you need to make sure that you're ready to go at any time, right? Because if you kept your lamp lit, that meant, I don't know if I'm going to be moving in the daytime or I'm going to be moving in the nighttime. I don't know if I'm going to need to move around at night. And so I don't have to hassle with lighting my lamp in the middle of the night. I'm going to keep it lit so I can go as soon as I need to go. I'm going to stay ready. I'm not going to let down my guard. And so that's what Jesus says. You need to be dressed in readiness. You need to keep your lamps lit. And why is that? Well, Jesus tells us in verses 39 and 40 of Luke chapter 12, why do we be dressed in readiness? Why do we keep our lamps lit? Why do we live like servants standing right by the door? The answer is verse 39 and 40. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. We don't know when our soul will be required of us. And so as Christians, we stay ready. As Christians, we stay prepared. As Christians, we dress in readiness. We keep our lamps lit. We stand right by the door, ready to welcome in our Savior whenever He may come. Rather than becoming distracted by the things in this life, we choose to remain prepared always. And so let me ask you this morning. Today, are you living life like a servant? Standing right by the door, ready to welcome in your master when he comes. And so with these two parables, Jesus says, you don't want to be like the rich fool. You don't want to get so focused on this life that you don't prepare for eternity. What you want to be like is you want to be like that servant who is doing everything they can to always stay prepared for eternity when it may come. And so there's a vital question that comes on the heels of that, and that is this: how do we get ready? How do we get ready? In the parable, you get ready by being a servant standing right by the door. But what's that look like for you and me? How do we get ready and stay ready for the day of eternity? And Jesus is going to answer that. He's going to answer that with another parable. Another parable that begins in Luke 12 and verse 42. Luke 12 and verse 42, the Bible says this: "And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions." Jesus, in this parable, he compares his disciples to stewards. And for those of you who don't know, maybe some of you don't know, a steward is somebody who watches over somebody else's possessions. It's somebody, a master would take a possession of his or a sum of money that was his. He would give it to a steward, and that steward would be, it wasn't a gift, it wasn't a present. It was a charge, it was a duty, right? I'm giving you this money, I'm giving you this possession. I want you to take care of it. I want you to hold on to it for me. I want you to use it for me. Right? It's much the exact same idea of babysitting, right? Every time you go out on a date night and you get a babysitter for your kids, what you've done is you've hired a steward, right? Because when you give your kid to a babysitter, you're not giving your kid to the babysitter, right? You expect to get them back. At least I've always gotten mine back. But I'm putting it in their charge for a period of time for them to take care of until I can come back and reclaim it. And so in this parable, I mean, it goes on and it has more to say, but I want you to appreciate this, that in this parable, we are compared to stewards. And what that says is, brothers and sisters, is that you and I are holding on to something that belongs to God. He has given us something that he wants us to take care of and nourish and use for him. And so the question is, why would God do that? Why would God compare me to a steward? What do I have? What do I have that belongs to him? And the answer is very simple. That my body, my mind, my life, all of my days, weeks, months, and years, that's what belongs to God. That's what I'm holding for him. That's what he's put in my charge. In Acts 17 and verse 28, Paul said this: "For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his descendants," right? He says we live and move and exist in him. He has given us our life. And then we see this in Colossians 1 and verse 16, that all things have been created through him and for him, right? I have been created through Jesus, and I have been created what? For Jesus. My life belongs to him. And that helps us answer that vital question, how do we get ready? Well, we get ready by being faithful and sensible stewards of the life that God has given to us. We get ready by being good stewards of the life God has given to us. We get ready, brothers and sisters, we become good stewards by making sure that we look at our life and we see each and every single day we have as a gift. That we don't take for granted our days, that we don't just assume that I deserve to wake up the next morning, but that each and every day He gives me is a gift from Him, that He has held my life together. He has kept me from passing away. And each day that I have is a gift from Him. That's how I remember to be a good steward, by remembering that each day is a gift. And I become a good steward by remembering to use each day to glorify God. By remembering that my purpose here as a Christian is not just to avoid sin. My purpose here is not just to run out the clock. That my purpose here is to do something with each and every day that brings glory to God. That with each and every day I do things that bear fruit. That I do things so that I can become wealthy in good deeds. I do things that store up heavenly treasure. So I can be rich toward God, whether or not I'm rich on this earth. We become good stewards when we use each day to glorify God. And we become good stewards when we remember that life doesn't belong to me. And we forget that, don't we? We forget that life doesn't belong to us. We forget that my life belongs to God. And that means just like it works with the babysitter and your child, right? The babysitter doesn't take your child and do with your child whatever they want to. They don't see your child as a gift that they can do whatever they want to do with it. They see your child as your child, and they do with your child what they know you would want them to do with your child. And that's how we need to see our life, our breath, our every movement. As something that God has entrusted to me that I need to use for Him. I need to remember that my life does not belong to me. And for that reason, I don't use my life. I don't use my life so that I can find the best way to bring pleasure to myself. That's not how I use my life. And I don't use my life to find the best way to make myself as comfortable as I possibly can. And I don't use my life to find the most enjoyable thing that I possibly can find to do on this earth. That's not what I use my life to do. I don't even use my life to do whatever I can to keep my life safe. That's not what God told me to do with what He's entrusted to me. I use my life to do things that glorify the one who gave it to me. I need to remember that my life does not belong to me. That's how I become a good and faithful, sensible steward of the life that God has given to me. So can I ask you this morning, are you ready? Is that the way that you have handled the life God has given to you? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready for Him to judge where you will spend the rest of forever? Are you ready for that day to come? Because ultimately, we don't know when it will come. It will come without notice, without notification, in the twinkling of an eye. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? Now, if you'll take a moment and put your mask back on, if it's not already on. And let me say just one more thing to you this morning. This message and messages like this, the words in Luke chapter 12, it has one of two effects on every human heart. At least I believe that it should. This message should, for some of you, it should validate your lifestyle. It really should. For those of you who are sitting here this morning and know deep down in your heart that you are doing your best, that know deep down on your heart that you are focused on spiritual things and that truly you are doing what you can to get rich toward God. You are doing what you can to be ready for eternity. You are living this life, not for yourself, but for God. This lesson should validate your lifestyle. It should bring great joy to you because you should know that's exactly how you ought to be living. And I encourage you to keep doing that. But if it does not have that effect on you, then it should have this effect on you. A message like this should shake the heart of those who are unprepared. That if you're living here this morning and you know you've really taken your eyes off of eternity, you have not been focused on the rest of forever, but you've been way too focused on what's happening in this physical world. It should shake you, and it should lead to change. And that's the good thing. Because while we do not know if tonight our soul will be required of us, we know that at least for the next moment, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to do something about that. You can get ready, and you can get ready quick. That's the beautiful thing about salvation. Is that can change. Just like the Lord can come in the twinkling of an eye, you can change whether or not you're prepared in a moment. And so if you're here and you're a Christian, you know you haven't been living a prepared life. You can change that. You can change that right now. You can decide that now, from now on, you're going to live in a way that is prepared and that is ready for God to come. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you need to know that you can fix that in a moment. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to repent of the sins you've committed that caused him to go to the cross, and you're willing to confess that belief before men, then you can be baptized in water. And when you're baptized, you'll rise to walk in newness of life, having your sins washed away. And now you are a child of God, ready for eternity. If we can help you do that or anything else, we invite you to come to the front while we stand, while we sing.